Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. If you have a product you want to get sales for, because that's how we put our products into the hands of more customers, that's how we generate more revenue to continue pursuing the work that we wish to pursue. So when it comes to outpacing, outselling, and utterly dominating your competition, there are few people that are better than today's guest. Today's guest started his first business as a senior in high school, and that business went from a $300 startup just 10 years ago to a massive multi-million dollar business operating in 3 states. He has implemented the same tactics he used to grow his business into over 6 other businesses that he has started or acquired. He is a public speaker who trains sales professionals for big brands such as State Farm, Toyota, MetLife, Edwards, Jones, and Cadillac. His life purpose is to help others grow through what he has learned. Today's guest for episode 175 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than DJ Carroll. DJ, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
My man, I love it, bro. I'm ready to do this thing, get fired up, and help give your listeners some actionable advice.
DJ, I'm really looking forward to this, and actionable advice is something we all definitely need as long as we're also implementing that advice. So I am really looking forward to diving into this interview today. But before we get started, I just want to ask, like, how did Easy Pro come about and how did you start as a senior in high school?
So good question, man. And I appreciate you having me on. Really means a lot to me. And thanks to everybody that's out there listening to this podcast. I grew up from humble beginnings, man. My parents carried engine parts out of the house that they brought me home to as a baby. My dad even told me, you know, my mom was painting while she was pregnant and he was worried about the fumes. Like, maybe that's what's wrong with me. I don't know. But it didn't hold me back too long. Kindergarten, I failed kindergarten. Not very many people can say they got that achievement under their belt. But repeated kindergarten, second grade, they told me I had a learning disability. And long story short, man, it wasn't ADHD or anything like that. It was just that I learned quickly and I'm a very audiovisual learner. So that's why I love coming on podcasts, because I think that there's a lot of people that can use this type of format to learn from. But long story short, man, I was just a hustler. My whole family, you know, my cousins, they sold drugs when I was growing up. Luckily, my parents, not luckily they got divorced, but luckily I moved from Indianapolis when I was a freshman in high school and got away from that side of the family. One of my cousins actually got killed in a drug deal. He got shot with a shotgun when I was about 16. And it really just kind of opened up my eyes. I was like, all right, man, I got to figure this shit out. And all the way through high school, I was going to be a chemical engineer. I was very thought-oriented. Critical thinking was always fun for me. I love numbers. And so I was on the track to be a chemical engineer, get to my senior year of high school, played football, had 8 football scholarship offers, and decided that, you know, I didn't have a lot of money, right? Like, I didn't come from a lot. So knowing that if I was going to just uproot and move 2, 3, 6, 8, 12 hours away from home and not have any money and not really have any support from my family, it was going to be difficult. So, you know, my senior year of high school, I started mowing grass. I took $300. I bought a Walmart weed eater, a Walmart push mower, and, a fucking entrepreneur was born, right? I started knocking on doors and just hustling, man. And that's why I always tell people, like, hustle, like, there's a lot of buzz around the word hustle. But to me, the definition of hustle is truly being able to monetize something, right? Because, like, we can always have big dreams, we can have big goals, like ambitions and all this, you know, fluffy shit. But, like, if you can't monetize dog walking, I don't give a shit how much you like dog walking. Like, it's not a business, right? And so I quickly realized, like, look, the grass grows every year, people will pay me to do this service. And I was working like 3 part-time jobs plus going to school, started mowing grass on the side. And it didn't take long for me to look at my money and say, look, man, I'm making more money mowing grass than I am with these three part-time jobs. Because you had to understand, Mark, I was waking up in the morning, going to the gas station by my local high school. I was wiping, getting down gas pumps, stocking the coolers, sweeping the parking lot. A couple hours, you know, I think a job paid me like $7 an hour. So it's like, boom, there's $14. And then I go to school for about 4 hours. I actually interned for myself. So I convinced, I don't know how the hell I did it, but I convinced the principal and the guidance counselor to let me work for myself. And so about halfway through the school day, I would eat lunch. And then after that, I would sign myself out and I would go mow my yards. So I would go mow 4 or 5 yards for, you know, anywhere between 40, 50, 60 bucks a piece. And then at the end of the day, I would either go sling pizzas and deliver them. And then on the weekends, that's what I would do. And during the week, I actually worked as a busboy at one of the nicer high-end restaurants because I realized that the waitresses made more money. So they tip out the busboy. They tip them more money. So, you know, I was looking at my money and I'm like, hey, I'm making more money mowing grass than I am busting my ass over here on three part-time jobs. If I leave and go to college, not only am I just going to wreck my body playing, you know, college football, I'm not going to have any money. I'm going to lose all of this income and my family just can't support me. So I made the tough decision. And I remember sitting down with my parents the night I told them, and, you know, I'm very fortunate that they're very supportive of me. My mom works for me now. I gave her a job in the company, and, they told me that as I was growing up, no matter what I wanted to do, as long as I was happy, they would support me. And so very fortunate. I really think I won the lottery when it comes to that, of having great parents. But man, just owning up and having some testicular fortitude, as the wrestler Mankind used to say, and just going for it, man. It's been a crazy journey, but it's been worth it.
DJ, just hearing that story again, it does sound like it's an incredible journey. And I remember hearing about the story of how you were a senior in high school and you had the football scholarships. And it's just amazing. Like, we all of us have so many different stories. And when I heard about your story also about how you're able to turn $300 into a multi-million dollar business, those are the types of results I feel like anyone would want to achieve. But I feel like there are a lot of things that are like, I turned this investment into this exponentially greater amount. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, in your example specifically, you took that 300 and turned it into a multi-million dollar business. So can you talk about how you were able to do that, make that transformation, and how much of it was based on like money you were putting back into the business, and how much of that big transformation was based on the time you put into your business?
Yeah, man. Well, you just talked about the two critical things. Like, there's only two things in business, time and money, right? And so I hate the saying that time is money and money is time, because that's complete bullshit. Time is not money and money is not time, right? Time is time and money is money, because money you can always make more of. Time is a finite resource. You only have so much of it. And so one of the first lessons that I learned was, when I was out mowing grass, right, you know, and you know, I graduate high school in May and we're in the full swing of it and I'm picking up landscaping jobs, and I quickly realized that there is only so much time for me to work, so many hours that I can physically work in a season. And then I start missing out on opportunities because maybe someone needs a quote on Thursday at 3 o'clock, but I'm stuck on the lawnmower and I can't make it there. I remember the day that it really clicked on me. I was mowing a commercial property that I had picked up. It was a small office complex, and I think it was like $90 a cut. Took me like an hour. Like, I was making pretty decent money. And so I'm mowing, and the belt breaks on the mower deck. And I remember looking at my watch, or probably my phone at the time. I don't, you know, have smartphones in. I'm not that old. I'll be 30 in June. I'll be 30 next month. But I look at my phone and I'm like, shit, I'm in trouble, because it's about an hour and a half before I had planned on being done for the day. I had a Chamber of Commerce award banquet that night, and the networking started at 5:30, and it's like 3 o'clock. And I'm like, man, by the time I go and get a belt, get it changed, get it put on out here in the field, finish up this job, like, I'm going to miss the networking. So you do what you got to do, right? Whatever it takes to be successful, that's how you be successful. So I only got the bell to put it on. And by the time I got that account done, it was like 5:30. It was already, the networking had already started. So I'm like, shit. So go home, I change, I take a shower, and I'm in the shower, and I remember just thinking to myself, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to be able to just continually be in the field and grow the business. I have to hire people, because I'm missing out on a huge networking opportunity right now that would give me the ability to get in front of people that have money and are willing to spend it. That's a key point for those of you that are listening. Write that down. You have to get in front of people that have money and are willing to spend it. So I missed out on that opportunity, and who knows what that could have cost me, right? Nobody will ever know. But that was the day that I realized, okay, I've got to multiply myself. So first and foremost, I hired another co-op from high school. You know, at this point, I'm a couple years out of school. Hire this girl. She's a cheerleader. She comes over like Tuesdays and Thursdays for like 2 hours in the afternoon. And that's all I really needed, just to do invoicing, paperwork, pay bills, things like that. But it bought me, 4 or 5 hours a week of my time back. I'm like, cool, perfect. There's 4 or 5 hours I got extra to go sell. Next was operations. And you have to realize, in a company, there's really only three parts. There's operations, administration, and sales and marketing. And for me, because I was just, I love sales, I love marketing, that's what I was good at. It's also what makes the money. So that's where I wanted to focus my time. I backed my way out of administration. Then I started backing my way out of operations. And, just putting systems in place and learning the hard way. I mean, listen, it's not a rose garden that I walked through by any means. I went through over 300 employees in 2.5 years. So we were turning and burning because I was just trying to make money, and I was scrambling to figure out any way I could do that. But when you say, how'd you take 300 and turn it into 3 million? You have to start duplicating yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You have to have other team members, whether you outsource that or hire them in-house. The other thing was I had to really start taking a hard look at my numbers and seeing where was the most money at, right? And I quickly realized there was no way in hell I was ever going to accumulate any amount of money, mentionable money, let's call it six figures or more, by just doing residential. It was impossible. I mean, these yards were 40, 50, 60 bucks a piece per week. When you multiply that out, you're only talking, here in Kentucky, we're about a 30-week mowing season. So, I mean, we take 60 bucks times 30 weeks, you're talking $1,800 per account. And you're trying to do 100,000, like, you need 100 customers. What I decided to do instead was figure out, again, who's got the money and who's spending it. Apartment complexes, state contracts. Those were where big chunks of money were getting spent. We had one state contract that was over $150,000 a year. We had one multifamily contract that was well into the six figures. Took me 3 years to land that one, but it was well into six figures. If you're working in your business right now, and this is where I always say, I try to give concrete, actionable advice. I want you to, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to take a second. I want you to think about your business, maybe even pause the podcast. Think, where is the big money at in your industry, right? Like, if you bake cupcakes, who orders a bunch of cupcakes, right? It's probably not the soccer mom that needs 20 cupcakes for the soccer team. Maybe you could go sell to the Fortune 500 company in town and say, hey, why don't you do client or, employee appreciation and buy a cupcake for all 2,500 of your employees, right? Like, that's where I think a lot of people mess up, Mark, is that they don't understand you got to get big and you got to get big quick. You have to have a sense of urgency to make a lot of money in business. That's one of my biggest regrets, man. It's like first 4 or 5 years, shit, dude, we're doing a couple $100,000. I'm like, I'm good, man. I got money. I'm in my, I'm 23, 24 years old. Like, I can just max out this $1,000 credit card every month and pay it off. It's not a big deal. But I quickly realized, like, you can't do that forever. You're eventually going to have to upgrade your level of what I call entrepreneurship. It's kind of like, my cousin sold drugs. Like, if you're in the drug game and you're selling weed, Cat Williams makes a joke about this. Like, you can't just sell weed forever. Like, you eventually got to upgrade to better substances, right? I'm not endorsing drug dealing. Don't sell drugs. I'm just telling you from an entrepreneur standpoint, there comes a time where you have to level up. You have to go to that next level. Because if not, eventually contentment's going to creep in. And if you're a true entrepreneur, that's going to mess with your head. And then, you know, it's going to go downhill from there.
And a lot of the story, like that story just screamed out hard work.
But shit, bro.
Looking at it and like, I mean, there's a point where you work so hard that you have to, as you said, multiply yourself to make it happen. And yeah. I could attest to this, like the moment I've hired people, I've been able to do so many things I can never do on my own. And like, if you have not hired anyone, I would recommend checking out some site like Upwork or onlinejobs.ph, because it's not too difficult to find some high talent individual who can help you with some of your tasks. But I would like to shift more towards the sales, because as you mentioned, that is where the money is within any business. So I'm wondering if you could share with us some of these sales secrets we need to know so we can outpace, outsell, and utterly dominate the competition.
That's right, man. So first and foremost, I love cold calling. You know, when I was, you have to realize while I started my business, and this is the crazy thing, is like my PR team makes it all sound fantastic and like it was easy, but it wasn't. It still is a struggle. I mean, shit, 2 weeks ago, I worked like 36 hours straight. So it's like I'm still grinding. It's just because you reach this level of success, if you're hungry, you keep pushing. But early on, like I said, I didn't have much money. So I couldn't afford to go buy a TV advertising campaign or spend a shit ton of money on direct mail. And what happened was, in the beginning in your business, you have more time than you have money. Now, as you progress, if it's working out, you should have more money than you have time. And that's why you hire out and delegate and all those cool things. But within the beginning, I realized like, man, apartment complex is where the money's at. I don't have a lot of money, but I got some time. I'm just going to call them. And so I just started calling and was terrible in the beginning. You know, that's everybody always tells me, oh, DJ, I don't like cold calling because A, I don't know what to say. B, what if they tell me no, right? Like I've never been hurt by a no in my entire life, even from women. And C, what if they don't, you know, what if they already have somebody or what if I'm wasting their time or I feel like I'm begging? Like, listen, man, all of those things are just excuses. My advice is this: find a reason to make it work versus finding an excuse of why it won't, right? Too many times, like this is how I can know straight through and through within the first 5 minutes of meeting an entrepreneur if they're going to make it or not. If when I try to say, well, hey, why don't you try this, this, or this? Instead of them going, man, yeah, you know, that might work, they instantly come back and go, well, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe they're looking for somebody that's got more experience than me. Or maybe if you're already starting to think self-doubt and like maybe I'm not good enough, like you're going to project that in your sales process and people smell that a mile away. When I used to sell early on, I used to think in my head that, well, people aren't going to hire me because I'm too young. Like no one in a right mind would sign a six-figure contract with a 23-year-old kid. Like this isn't going to happen, right? And it wasn't until I got my own mindset right that I felt confident and then could go pitch these big six-figure contracts. And you know what? Like when I walked in a suit and was confident about it, they bought it because they believed me. And no one can believe you until you believe yourself. That's the first rule of sales. If you don't believe what you're selling, no one else is going to believe it. But cold calling as a tactic, and you know, you can check out coachcarol.com/cold. There's a free webinar on there with cold calling. You have to understand that cold calling, in essence, most people screw up because they try to sell over the phone. They're literally going to pick up the phone, dial the number, and try to sell their product, service, or idea right off the bat. To me, that's like going to a bar and trying to pick up a chick and saying, hey, my name's DJ. Would you like to go home with me at the end of the night? Like, you can't do that. That's never going to work. You have to use the process. So for me, one tip would be when you're cold calling, just try to set the appointment, right? You just have to call, say, hey, I'm DJ with Easy Pro. You know, we're a lawn and landscaping company that's also a member of the Apartment Association. I was just calling to see if I could stop by next week to give you a free property evaluation. And most of the time they're like, yeah, sure. I don't care. Like it doesn't sound like I'm selling anything. Does that make sense, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happens is you get your foot in the door, right? So it's literally like asking that girl at the bar, can I buy you a drink, right? Like, that's the first thing. You have to get your foot in the door. Then you can start building that relationship. And like I said, one of those contracts took me 3 years, man, going to lunch, visiting the property manager over and over. I mean, once a month, man, I was in this guy's office. Just, hey, man, how's everything going? Good, cool. Hey, can we bid on – ah, we're not going to bid it out this year, DJ. We appreciate it. Hey, no problem, man. I'm not going anywhere. And what I did was I built that relationship and showed that client that I cared more about the relationship than I did about getting the contract. A lot of people shortchange themselves on cold calls. You know, there has to be a certain level of qualification. If they're not even going to give you the appointment, then yeah, we don't waste our time. But if they're going to let me at least come visit their property or at least set up a phone call with them, then that means they're open to starting a relationship. And then I start dripping out mail pieces to them. We start dripping them emails. It's just this, it's a huge sales process that's all about just building this relationship with them through providing value and content and getting in front of them. But so, cold calling was like my end. That's where I really started getting it. And then once I got in with the state stuff, you know, that's just cold bid. And there's a lot of stuff out there that are, they call them RFPs, requests for proposals, or RFQs, requests for quotes. Depending on what you're selling, your product, your service, your idea, you can go to fedbizop.gov. Federal Business Opportunity.gov is what that stands for, fedbizop.gov. And there's like a whole list of all the stuff that the federal and state governments buy. You know, the federal and state governments are one of the largest purchasers of small businesses, products, and services in the U.S., but very few entrepreneurs ever tap into them. It's pretty crazy. So that was my two things, man. I started doing that, started tapping into cold calling. And, you know, in 2016, I ran my first Facebook ad in 2013, played with it a little bit in 14 and 15. But 2016, we got into power washing, and that's when I really figured out the Facebook ads. And we've been rocking and rolling with them for the past 2 years and haven't really had to do too much cold calling.
And there are a lot of different tactics out there, cold calling, Facebook ads, which my brother also happens to be really good at. But you talked about the mindset, which is easily the most important thing for us to develop if we want to become successful in any area. And I will ask a question about what you believe like holds us back from unlocking our potential. But I want to do something different. And you mentioned that you're talking about your success also, and that kind of a mindset. And I'm wondering, once we do achieve success, how do we continue to grind? Like, how do we not get, in a sense, drunk on the success and then we lose it? Because failure is not final. I think we get that, but success is not final either. So once we get the success, how do we hold on to it and grow?
Yeah, man. And for me, I'm just going to tell you from experience, you know, we liquidated a piece of real estate in February, $50,000 in cash, and it's already reinvested all back in my business. I try to stay broke. I try to live broke. I pay myself as little bit of money as possible. I think that we're really in a bad, bad spot right now, man, with Instagram and Facebook, mainly Instagram. You know, there's all this like flashing of like fancy cars and boats and houses. And what most people don't understand, especially for me, like I really, you know, I've worked with corporate clients for the past decade, but my people are millennial entrepreneurs. Like that's who I am. That's who I understand. And never before have we had the opportunity like we have right now for entrepreneurial success. Entrepreneur is a hot buzzword. So it has been for the past couple of years. I think it still will be, because in my idea or my imagination, I think that, and I'll do a little bit of predicting here because I think it's fun. I think we're about the 2020s are going to be like the 1920s all over again. And what I mean by that is the 1920s, if you go back and read the history books, it was just complete proprietorship. And so you had people that made handbags, you had people that did horseshoeing, you had people that made brooms, and there was this decentralization of wealth and power. Lots of proprietors. And we've gotten away from that over the past 100 years. We've really, with the Industrial Revolution, we've had a lot of big offices, buildings pop up, you know, big companies, big factories. And I think we're getting away from that. I tell a story all the time. I had this girl that reached out to me last year. And she said, DJ, look, I work in a call center. I'm third shift. I don't like it. But it pays my bills. And I'm kind of starting to get into this Etsy store thing, and people really like what I'm making and putting out there. And I'm like, well, just keep doing it. Like, it takes time, right? That's another thing I don't think a lot of us young entrepreneurs understand is that, you know, millennial entrepreneurs are impatient as fuck. Like, they think that, like, you're just going to open a business 24 months later, you got the mansion, the pool, the yacht, the Beamer. Like, it doesn't happen like that, man. Like, it just doesn't. Nothing moves that fast. And here's what happens. If it moved that fast, it's because some VC came in and gave some kid $3, 4, 5 million worth of startup capital. And with $3, 4, 5 million worth of startup capital, I don't give a fuck if you're selling tulips. You can grow a big business, right? How sustainable long term that will be is to be determined. But you know, back to the story with Lacey, she's like, all right, cool. Well, I'm just going to keep growing this thing. I was like, hey, just take your time, work on it, you know, put out good product, take care of your customers. She reaches out to me a year later, man. And she's like, hey, I quit my job today. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, fuck that call center. Like, I'm like number 900 and something out of 3 million Etsy stores. And I'm like, whoa, like, good for you. And she's over here selling like signs that you put above your dog food bowls and it's like Fido's food or whatever, you know, like just this really weird and just way out there product. But because it's so niche down that the riches are in the niches, as they say, she has an audience that wants to buy her stuff, and she's making just as much, if not more, doing this side hustle now, her full-time hustle, as she was in her career. And I think that opportunity is just abundant now because we have the internet, and the internet has just eliminated so many barriers to entry. I mean, you can buy cheap stuff from China and now sell it here in the US and like basically you're Walmart, because that's what Walmart's been doing for the past 20 years. But you have to understand, if you're a young entrepreneur and you're getting started or you're thinking about starting, know that it comes with trials and tribulations. Like, you're going to have to learn lessons. And the only way you learn lessons is by going, shit, I shouldn't have done that, right? Like, that's the best teacher in entrepreneurship and in business. You have to understand that it takes time for those lessons to happen. But if you'll stay committed in your mindset, you have to really, and this comes back to your question, Marcus, you have to get self-doubt out of your mind, okay? Because when I decided that I was going to be a chemical engineer, I went to my chemistry teacher and she said, DJ, if you ever think that you're going to be as successful being an entrepreneur than if you just went to college and got your chemical engineering degree and went and got a job, like, you're sadly mistaken. And I was like, chink, that's the first chip on the shoulder. Because she didn't believe in me, right? Like, she didn't believe that I could live as good of a life doing this stuff, this entrepreneur hustle game, as I could if I just went and got a job. And what happens, what most people don't realize, and this is, I don't know how old you are, Mark, but my dad's, he'll be 62 this year. He bought that dream of going and getting a good job, right? Like, he worked for the city of Indianapolis for 30 years, took care of our family, provided for us and everything, but now he's retired. He makes like $1,000 a month off his retirement. Like, he can't wait until the end of the year when Social Security kicks in, so he gets another $1,200. And then he's still, like, you know, fully maxed out, making $2,400, $2,500 a month. Like, are you kidding me? You're not fucking retiring and going to the beach on $2,500 a month. That's not going to happen. So I think entrepreneurship's the way to go. That's why I encourage so many millennials to chase it if they're passionate about it. Because here's the big thing to remember: the worst case scenario normally isn't that bad, right? Because what would have happened? Like, if DJ's little mowing business wouldn't have worked out, what's the worst case scenario? Then I go to college and I become a chemical engineer, right? Like, there's the I think just the ideology in people's mindsets of like, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work? What am I going to do? It's like, well, you're probably going to do what you would have done if you didn't go try it. So understand that it takes a lot of courage. But at the same time, you have to be all in on your mindset. And I highly recommend Napoleon Hill, man. He's one of the greatest. You know, everybody knows about Think and Grow Rich, but I'm going to recommend another book to the audience is Outwitting the Devil. If you haven't read that, and I highly urge you to get it on an audiobook. You get it through Audible. Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill will really teach you about drifting and being on purpose and getting your head right.
Outwitting the Devil is definitely, it's a really fascinating book and definitely different from the way most books are written. And mm-hmm. in addition to that book, I'm wondering if you could share with us two additional books that you believe have a great impact on us.
Yeah, man, for sure. So Phenomenal Phone Calls, which obviously is my one of my first books that I wrote. It's a small ebook. And then I would say the other one is going to be I want to say Think Grow Rich, but I feel like everybody knows about that one. Everybody knows about Think and Grow Rich. Everybody knows about Robert Kiyosaki. Let me look at my bookshelf real quick and see. Let's talk. I'm going to say The Richest Man in Babylon is a really, really good one. And Predictably Irrational is another really good one. Predictably Irrational is by Dan Ariely, I think is how you pronounce his last name. And it talks about psychology. Anything that you can read about psychology and how people's minds work will help you sell better, right? Because like once I got through all the Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglars, you know, all those books that were on sales from the old guys, Jeffrey Gittimer's, you know, Grant Cardone, all that good stuff, I was like, all right, they're all just regurgitating the same shit over and over again. What's the next level? The next level of sales is psychology, learning how to articulate to people in a certain way that is persuasive without them really knowing that you're persuading them. So anything psychology related. And then the other one I don't think a lot of millennials know about is just Jim Rohn. Anything. I've read every single book that Jim Rohn has, every single audio program that he has. Jim Rohn is one of those guys that – I don't think gets enough credit nowadays. He's just one of the forefathers when it comes to personal development. And I try to listen to some piece of personal development audiobook first thing in the morning when I'm doing my cardio because it gets my head right for the day. And then, you know, as I'm driving around and stuff, I'll listen to more educational stuff. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch for them.
I do agree about Jim Rohn. Like I've read one of his books and one of his audio. I've listened to one of his audio programs, and it is really amazing what he and like all those other guys you mentioned offer as well. But I typically don't hear as many Jim Rohn book recommendations, so I am happy that you brought him up.
Yeah, the I'll tell you guys one of the big secrets. And I didn't realize this. I met a guy, Brennan Burchard's. I went to his High Performance Academy a couple months ago, but. There is the Ultimate Jim Rohn Library is the name of it on Audible. It's like if you get the Audible program subscription where it's like, I don't know, $3 a month, $7 a month or something like that, where you get a new book every month. The trick is to go in there and try to find the stuff that's really, really expensive because you get a deal on it because really you only pay like $7. The Ultimate Jim Rohn Library is like $47 program and you get it for like $7. So that one I would highly recommend from Jim Rohn.
Wow, I'll definitely look into my Audible because I'm very frequently on there. Well, thank you for giving me that great idea for Audible. And for any of the listeners who want to grow their content brands, they want a book on how they can create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue, you can check out my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgaberti.com/book. And as we promised a little earlier in the interview, we talked about how we can maintain and grow upon our existing success, but DJ, I'm wondering if you could share with us what you believe holds most people back from achieving their sales goals.
I would have to say that if you're being held back from achieving your sales goals, I would challenge you to look internally first. Ask yourself, why do you want to achieve the sales goal? Because a lot of times, you know, when there's a lack of motivation, that means that there's just a lack of discipline. And the lack of discipline comes from you not being tied, and this is all psychology, you not being tied into your goals or the outcome that you believe you can achieve. So to try to sum that up in a little easier way to digest, if you don't 100% believe that the number you have written on the board that you're trying to get to is attainable, or that whatever that goal is you are going to get the outcome of, then you aren't going to go after it because you don't believe that you can actually achieve that. So what happens is I've always found by taking my sales goal for the year, making it bite sizes, it's more easy to digest. So, you know, if you're using simple numbers, if your goal is $400,000 for a year, all right, well, that's $100,000 a quarter. That's $33,000 a month. And then you just keep dividing down. So if we're at $33,000 a month, That's going to be about $8,200 a week. If you take $8,200 a week divided by five, that's $1,600 a day. So you need to tell yourself, like, hey, man, I just have to do $1,600 a day in sales. Every single day, that's my number. That's all I've got to hit. And that's a lot easier to chew on than $400,000, right? So that's number one. Number two is, if you're not reaching your goals, it might be your skill level, right? Like, that's like asking, like, well, man, what can I change in my mindset to beat LeBron James at basketball? Like, sometimes you can't. Like, your ass is just going to keep getting dunked on because he's better than you. And that's a conversation I don't hear people having a lot in entrepreneurship. And I meet them, man. Like, I go to these networking events. I'm a member of YPAL, which is the Young Professionals Association of Louisville. Shout out YPAL. You have to understand that just because you really, really, really like basket weaving and you think you're really, really, really good at basket weaving, if you suck at selling baskets, like, it's not going to work, bro. Like, and I think there's just this – that's the downside of millennials is – I was part of it. Like, I got the participation trophies, right? Like, I got – and I've told Tori, my girlfriend, I'm like, we have kids. Like, that fucking kid's not getting a participation trophy. Like, you came in last place and you get a trophy, you go give it to the first place guy because that's the one that deserves it. Well, you can't do that, DJ. You can do that. And if you raise your kid like that, that's what makes them a winner, because he's going to go to bed that night and he's going to say, damn it, man, I had to give the spoils to the guy that won. And that's how life – really works. And so I would tell you that maybe you need to get your skill level up. Maybe you need to buy some courses. Maybe you need to get a mentor. Maybe you need to go learn and go to some seminars and get around people and read the books. There's a lot more to it than just like getting your headspace right. And I feel like that's where a lot of the millennials are moving right now. It's like, well, I just gotta, as long as I feel warm and fuzzy about being successful, then I'll be successful. It's like, no, jackass, you still got to go sell something. Like, it doesn't just happen. And so I mean, those are the one and the twos, man. Like, you're not motivated enough, because listen, motivation, people that need motivation, and I'm saying this from, like, I need motivation too. Like, I listen to this shit too. When you need motivation, it's because you lack discipline. That's it. Because if you're 100% disciplined, everything that's on your calendar gets done, you're booked for the next 6 months, you're going to accomplish it and be at 100% efficiency, you don't need any motivation. You're as motivated as you need to be. You're going to get there. You're going to be successful. You're doing the actions. What happens is you go, alarm clock goes off 4:30. Fuck, man, I really don't want to go work out. I don't want to go climb no steps. I don't want to go do my breathing exercises. I don't want to go read my goals. That's all going to take me about 2 hours. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to sleep for another 2 hours. And the challenge is, and I face this every day, so don't think I'm like preaching at you Dr. Phil style over here. I'm telling you that I have these same conversations with myself. And what happens is I realize that I'm not 100% sold that I can compete at that level. So earlier on, Mark, you asked me, you know, like, how do you not get drunk on success? Like, you just keep chopping away at the tree. And as soon as you cut down the first tree, you look past it and there's a whole great big forest. I remember, I'll tell you another quick story real quick. I know we're getting close to the end. When I very first moved to Louisville, I looked around. I was like, all right, I moved from a small town, you know, outside, about an hour outside of Louisville. I had known everybody there. Everybody knew me. I was like, all right, I got to get to a new area. I got to cut this town off. It's getting negative. I got to get to this new place. I got to find some ballers and get around them, because people will pull you up. It's like, it's, success is magnetic, man. You get around more successful people and people that are more successful than you, it will just pull you to them. It's just, I don't know why it works. It's just the way it works. I didn't write the rule book. So I'm like meeting these people. And I meet this guy, you know, and at this point I'm like, damn, you know, Grant Cardone's business does like $25 million a year. You know, Brad Lee, my buddy Brad, I've talked to him, been to his office, Lightspeed VT, you know, he's doing 20, 30, 40 million a year. Gary V's doing 150 million a year. I'm like, damn, dude, these guys are ballers. They're making lots of money. I meet this guy when I moved to Louisville. He owns all of the suntan cities and he owns about 10 Planet Fitnesses. And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, what are you doing here? Cordial, no big deal. About 180 million, DJ. I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, about 180. I was like, dude, how much do you work? He's like, I don't know, about 10 hours a week. I'm like, whoa, my brain about exploded, Mark. Because I'm like, I look at Gary Vee and I'm like, well, the reason why he's got 150 million years, he works 18 hours a day, right? Like, this dude's a machine. And then I meet this guy that's got a bigger company than him and only works 10 hours a week. And that let me know, like, DJ, you're not even scratching the surface, bro. Like, you're not even a fucking speck on the windshield of success. Like, you get around these bigger people and these people that have achieved more than you, it really will open up your eyes. Because if you've come, if you're listening to this right now and you come from some similar background as I did, like, you know, next to nothing, your family doesn't have a lot. Mark, I think the biggest thing holding guys like me back is we just don't really realize the value of money. And when you, when I say that, I'm meaning like, what's $10 million buy? Can you fathom owning something worth $10 million? Can you fathom having $10 million in your bank account? Like, you know, like when you're holding $50,000 cash, you're like, holy shit, this is $50,000 cash. First time I've ever seen this, right? Like, that's a teacher's salary. Like, you have to realize if you're going to climb this ladder of success, your mind has to get shifted into a place that is very small people. You have to realize at the age of 30, right? I'll be 30 next month. My net worth is, it's over $1 million. Well, I won't put a number on it, but it's over $1 million for my real estate holdings. But at the age of 30, if my net worth was $328,000 and I was making $200,000 a year, I'm in the top 1% of the US. But most people don't even have a clue where they stand at, right? Like, but they're like, I'm gonna get me that Rolls Royce. I'm gonna get me that mansion. They don't even fucking know what a G200 cost. Like, you don't even know that that's $6 million. Like, stop talking. Stop just living in your dreams, right? I have a saying that says, dream on the weekend, work during the week. There's too many people that just dream 7 days a week and then want to look at themselves and go, why are I succeeding? Let me just go listen to another one of Mark's podcasts. Like, there comes a point in time where you like got to actually do some work, man. Sorry. Didn't mean to go on a tangent.
And a lot of it does come down to that work. Like, there are ways to time hack, productivity hacks, multiplying yourself, as you said before. And no matter how you optimize your schedule, there is going to be that point where you have to sit down and put in the hard work. Yes, like smart work also, but it is still hard work just done smarter.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't think that you're going to amass any type of, and listen, like, you can fool some people. You can do some shady shit where you don't really have to work, and you can make, you know, $5,000. Like, you can go make $100,000 a year and not really have to work. And build, but you're building your foundation on quicksand. And so what I would urge you to do is take 4 or 5 years, put in the work, build the foundation, and then you've got something that you can build on from there. Too many people are trying to get rich quick, man. There's just not very many people in history of the U.S. that have built foundational wealth for their family on get rich quick schemes. This doesn't happen. It takes time.
And DJ, before we do wrap up this episode, I mean, the advice you offered, it's just been really amazing. But I'm wondering if you could share with us one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
Why? You have to understand that until you figure out your why, then your body, your mind, everything, like, you have to, like, and it all goes back to, like, your ancestry. Like, in psychology, they call it the primal motivators, right? We want to eat, we want to fuck, we want to survive. Like, those are our primal motivators. And so, like, if you're doing something in life that doesn't go back to providing food, you know, making sure that you survive or reproducing, you have to truly understand why you're doing it. Because if not, you're going to get a month in, 6 months in, 12 months in, and then it's just not going to happen, right? That's why a lot of times you see people grow their business from zero to whatever their job's income level is really quickly. Because their why is, like, they don't want to work for their boss anymore. They hate him. He's an asshole. The environment they work in is negative. They want to get out of there as fast as possible. So they go from zero to that point really, really quickly, and it gets them free. but then it, and then they just hover there, right? Like they get stuck, or they can't ever get to the next level, or they don't take it to the next level. And then they come up with some story of why they don't need to go to the next level. You have to realize you must ask yourself why more often. I don't put anything on my calendar. I don't do anything until I ask myself why. Even like this interview, I'm like, why would I do this? Why would I spend an hour hanging out with Mark? I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure the listener are great people. Why would I do this? And the why comes back to my purpose in life, is that I want to help millennial entrepreneurs. Eventually, I want to build the Entrepreneur Institute, man. Like, I didn't have anywhere to go when I graduated high school to help me grow my business, right? I didn't have anywhere to turn to. So I want to build that resource for other entrepreneurs. And so for me, this is my way of just laying those bricks. You know, there will be hundreds, thousands of people that'll hear this over the next 10 years that are going to get something from it. And much like when I go speak at a high school, I just need one person, Mark. Like if one person says, damn, man, that makes sense. He's right. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to change my life. And they go on to build a company and change their family tree. Like, dude, what more could I ask for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of my time to invest to help somebody change their life? But you need to start asking yourself why. Don't just hop into shit haphazardly and expect it just to work. Like, you need to make moves more carefully. And listen, I always like doing this because I don't think a lot of guys that are on podcasts and shit like that, they would give advice and then you don't know where they're coming from. I lost a business it was a six-figure business, about $500,000 worth of real estate. And it was a business that I should have never bought. It was a fitness center. I bought it. It was had 100 members. It was going under. I grew it to 300 members in 18 months using Facebook ads. And it was a huge success. But we had some stuff that happened and went down. I wound up losing that business. And I really think it was just the universe working with me and going, listen, man, like you just bought that to do a deal. It wasn't conductive with my purpose in life. And I didn't ask myself, why should we buy this? I just fucking bought it because I knew that I could fix it and make money. So ask yourself why more often about everything. Why do you work out? Why do you want to go have coffee? Like I stopped having lunch and coffee with people. I won't do it. Like, you know, that's the thing is like, hey, man, let's grab coffee. Hey, let's grab lunch. I'm like, bro, I'll have a 15-minute phone call with you, but I'm just I don't have an hour to burn sitting around talking about what happened at the, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers game last night. Like that has no bearing on my life whatsoever. You know, ask yourself why and really start moving with solid pinpoint intention and purpose.
DJ, thank you for sharing with us that powerful question and for sharing all of your great insights throughout our time together. And for anyone who wants to follow up with DJ and learn more about him, he has his newest project, The Tactical Grind. It's kind of like an album, but it's a free 10 video course in an album style where he has a lot of different insights for entrepreneurs that he shares with in those videos, and they are tactical, not philosophical. So you will leave each of those videos with action steps that you can take to achieve more success. For anyone interested, that is at Coach Carroll. Carroll has two R's and two L's. So coachcarroll.com/grind. That link and all the other links mentioned will also be in the show notes at markguberti.com/E175. DJ, I cannot thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us today.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. And if any of you listeners, you know, if you loved what you're taking away, my team does an amazing job with all our social media content. So it doesn't matter if you're on Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever, LinkedIn, just search hashtag Coach Carroll, CARROLL, hashtag Coach Carroll on any social media platform. It'll pull me up, probably pull up Pete Carroll, the coach of the Seahawks as well. But you'll be able to distinguish the two of us pretty well. And look forward to engaging with you guys. Drop comments, say, hey, what's up? I heard you on Mark's podcast. I love interacting, engaging with people. And Mark, I really appreciate you having me on, man. Hopefully we helped a lot of people today.
It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for coming.
Cool, man. Thanks.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweet.